We begin this interview with an acknowledgement of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, upon whose ancestral lands 2SER broadcasts. We pay respect to the elders both past and present, acknowledging them as the traditional custodians of knowledge for these lands. Did you know the Australian Constitution cannot be amended without a referendum? In the last few weeks, conversation in the media has ramped up regarding a referendum which will take place either this year or early next. It will involve the whole of Australia, and we will be voting on something called the Voice to Parliament. So what are we voting for? Well, our Prime Minister has provided the following statement for context. Australians who go to the polling booth will encounter a question which encompasses the following notion. Do you support an alteration to the Constitution that establishes an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice? Here with us now for a chat about the Voice to Parliament is Roy Arcee, a descendant of the Wiradjuri Nation and a member of the Uluru Dialogue Leadership. Roy, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Georgia, for having me on your program. It's a really important conversation, like your opening remarks and your introduction. It's a big year, for the traditional owners of this country. The Prime Minister said it's about respecting our country's first people. And I noticed with your introduction, it was very respectful. I just hope that, the general public, fair-minded Australians have the same empathy when it comes to empowering Aboriginal people.
Thanks, Roy. So this has been discussed at length in many ways, but as a First Nations member of the Uluru Dialogue, what does it mean when we talk about a voice to Parliament? Why do we refer to it as a voice, and what does it aim to achieve?
Yeah, look, it's a good question, Georgia. It's about representation. Since the demise of ATSIC, I think it was 2005, under John Howard, who put a red pen through, a national voice. Yes. Aboriginal people have been disempowered at the national level now for many, many years. We've gone backwards. Mm. You only have to look at, places like Alice Springs, with our youth up there. And by the way, I've always stated that alcohol isn't the primary cause for these situations. It's only a secondary symptom. The primary cause is welfare dependency and absolute poverty. That's why we need a voice.
On that point, those who watch or read the news know there's been a lot of chatter about the voice amongst our media outlets. Do you think the media is currently adding to the dialogue, or have some mastheads somewhat sensationalised the most controversial standpoints on this referendum?
Oh, look, good news stories about blackfellas never gets in the media, Georgia. Let's put that up front and, put it to bed straight away. So, the media over many, many years have they've been disingenuous towards First Nations people in this country. And there's a reason as to why. You only have to look at who owns the media. A lot of it's right-wing media. And, they've anointed Aboriginal people and spokespersons on our behalf.
On that point too, the Leader of the Opposition's point of view seems to have been amplified here, perhaps over other more important perspectives. What do you make of Dutton's appeal for more information regarding the referendum, even when there is a meticulous amount of detail outlining what the voice proposes to do and achieve?
Oh, Georgia, that's just crazy. That's outrageous. Mm. He had Ken Wyatt, a Noongar man, or wherever he's from, I think from Broome, Western Australia, who was the Minister for Indigenous Affairs, sitting in his cabinet room, that engaged in this whole process, that engaged Tom Carmer and Marcia Langton to go out and do a report, and he would have tabled that in the cabinet room with Peter Dutton, who wasn't the Prime Minister at the time, or the Leader of the Opposition, it's crazy. This is why we need a First Nations voice enshrined in the Constitution, because politicians don't take us serious. When the Australian people vote and put our voice in the Constitution, there won't be politicians that can tinker with it, because, like I said, if it's put there by the people, the politicians can't touch it. So the other point that I make about Peter Dutton, you only have to look at his record. When Kevin Rudd did the apology to the Stolen Generations, he got up and walked out of the Parliament.
Yeah, well, you've been a really important part of this dialogue, the Uluru Dialogue. Can you tell us a bit more about the recent research commissioned by the Uluru Dialogue showing strong support for the voice among First Nations people? What was the research and what did it find?
Yeah. IPOS done a research, a sample of First Nations people, and 8 out of 10 people, 80% of the people they surveyed, First Nations people, said they'd vote yes in a referendum to give Aboriginal people a voice in this country. Mm. Now, 10% said no, which is fine. You live in a democracy, and there's 10% undecided. Mm. So I guess conversations like this one, Georgia, are really important because the 10% that are undecided get to listen to both sides of the story and not just one-sided. I guess the 10% that are saying no, they're, you know, it's highly likely they're treaty people or sovereignty people or people who've got an axe to grind.
Mm. Well, that's an important part of the discussion because part of the Uluru Statement from the Heart, which the voice came from, called for a Makarrata Commission. Can you briefly tell us what this means in relation to the concept of treaty and from a First Nations perspective?
Yeah, look, it was very clear during the dialogues around the country. I think it was over 1,300 people. Aboriginal people were come together. They were native title groups. They were land council leaders. They were traditional owners. They were people who spoke for country. They were elders. They were individuals. They led community controlled organisations. Basically, it was the mob that said, "We don't want tokenism." We want meaningful, significant change for First Nations people in this country, and that's why they ask for a voice enshrined in the Constitution that's put there by the people that can't be touched by the politicians. Mm. And it's pretty simple. There's a sequence. Voice, treaty, truth. And that's where the Makarrata Commission comes in.
Well, thank you so much. I feel like you've cleared up a few things and given us some great information. Just to finalise the interview, do we have any idea when we will expect to go to the polling booths?
To be honest with you, I heard a date around August this year,
yeah.
But don't hold me to it. I'm not the Prime Minister, so I'm not quite sure.
No worries. We'll stay active in the conversation and we look forward to hearing more from First Nations people on this issue. Thank you so much, Roy. That's all we have time for. And thanks so much for speaking to me.
Thanks, Georgia. Pleasure to be on your program.